You're on 2SER Breakfast here with myself, Tess Connery. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. Now, most of us have a pretty specific idea of what a giant looks like. Angry, haggard man who is, well, pretty giant, running after our hero with the full intention of grinding their bones to make his bread. But the mythology of giants spans culture and time. It appears in the collective imagination of Indigenous groups the world over. So what's the significance of giant people? Why do they keep popping up in the cultural canon of seemingly isolated cultures? Professor of Geography at Queensland University of the Sunshine Coast and author of The Edge of Memory, Patrick Nunn, thinks he might just have the answer, and he joins us on the line now. Patrick, thanks so much for your time.
It's a pleasure, Tess.
So, broadly, what is the cultural significance of giants?
Well, I'm interested in how people started to invent giants in the first place, why they felt a need to invent giants. And my background is in climate change. I'm a climate scientist, and I'm very interested in the swings of sea level that have taken place over time. And, you know, it's clear that, you know, people once walked across what are now ocean gaps from one piece of land to another when that land was continuous, when the sea level was lower. And I think over time, as the sea level rose and started to drown those gaps, so people felt a need to remember a time when it was possible to walk across those gaps. And in order to rationalize that to people who had no experience of that time, people would have to have become giants. So, you know, if I said to you, for example, that people once walked from, you know, Adelaide to Kangaroo Island, you know, where the water is now 32 meters deep, you might say, well, how is that possible? You know, the water is so deep. And so I would say, well, at that time, the people were giants. So I actually see a connection between climate change and sea level rise and the invention of giants in mythologies all over the world.
It certainly makes sense, but it's definitely not a theory I've ever heard before.
I think there are stories from all over the world that make perfect sense. I mean, there's one that I've been researching between Wales and Ireland, and it talks about, you know, a time when a giant walked across there to rescue his sister from an abusive husband in Ireland and bring her back home to Wales. And, you know, that story, if it's actually based on memories of a time when it was possible to walk across that gap, that story would have to have been around for at least 9,600 years.
Wow, that is insane. So,
yes, it is insane. but, you know, a lot of my research in recent years has actually been focused on the longevity of these kinds of stories. And particularly in Australia, we have Indigenous Australian stories that talk about a time when the sea level was much lower and when it was rising across the land. And we've collected stories now from 22 places all the way around the coast of Australia. And what these stories are, what they can only be, is a memory of a time after the last ice age when the sea level was rising. And that sea level rise ended about 7,000 years ago. So all those stories must be more than 7,000 years old.
What do you think it is about giants that really captivates people the world over?
I think the fact that it's something different, that you know, it recalls a time in human history that conventional science has not yet discovered, but sort of folk science recalls. And so I think giants are really appealing. But I think that the invention of giants, or the need to invent giants, is rooted very strongly for very practical purposes. You know, we needed to explain to people how other people had once crossed what are now deep ocean gaps.
And a lot of these stories, I guess, have been passed around through the oral history of cultures. Is that something that you've found important to analyse?
Oh, absolutely, yes. You know, when we think about, you know, modern humans, we've been around for about 200,000 years. We've probably been communicating orally for something like 70,000 years at least. And we've only been communicating in writing for, you know, at the most 2,000 years or so. So really, most of human history has been passed on from one generation to another orally. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I have a book coming out at the end of this month, and it's called The Edge of Memory. And it actually looks at ancient stories from all over the world. And It's actually trying to demonstrate that, you know, some of these stories are thousands and thousands of years old.
And so of all these stories that you've been having a look at, just before I let you go, I know it's a big question, but could you narrow it down? Do you have a favourite giant story?
No, I don't. I mean, I grew up with Gulliver's Travels, and you know, I've read Roald Dahl to my children, and so look, I think there are so many stories, particularly in Northwest European cultures, you know, about these massive giants with, you know, their real attitudes and their uncompromising behavior, and I suppose they always inspired me when I was a teenager and even younger, and now that I'm an adult, I feel almost a connection with them because I'm looking at the invention of giants through a different lens.
It is such exciting research. Patrick, thank you so much for your time this morning.
You're most welcome, Tess.
That was Professor of Geography at Queensland University of the Sunshine Coast, Patrick Nunn, and all the links, of course. And you can get Patrick's book, The Edge of Memory, on September 1st. And yeah, all the links will be up in the podcast. It's 12 minutes to 9 a.m. and you're on 2SER Breakfast.